107.5 and 106.3 FM KGY. I'm Scott Unesh. Mark Dukes alongside Alex Kuhn, our producer. So we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here today. And your local programming block will be underway. 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Then we've got Twins baseball. Brian Dozier and the Twins taking on the Kansas City Royals, who I believe scored again in the ninth inning last night. Sorry, Mark. I know that hurts. And we'll have it tonight at 7 o'clock for you on the North Gym, 107.5 FM, your home of Minnesota Twins baseball. That was a crooked number. That was a touchdown in the ninth inning last night.
7 runs in an inning is, yes, a crooked number. And testimony to the lack of talent, lack of success the Twins have had out of the bullpen. And, you know, you think you allow 3 runs in a game, you might have a shot, but Royals are still pretty good.
Royals are still good, and they are still in it as far as the wild card is concerned. Still behind the Detroit Tigers, who are playing the White Sox right now, 3-1. Last I looked, as Upton with the home run in that game for the Detroit Tigers. Also should let you know, the game 1 tonight of the Midwest League playoff series between Cedar Rapids and Wisconsin is on in Appleton. We'd be having problems if we were here in Cedar Rapids, so it all works out very, very well. Wisconsin will be hosting the Colonels tonight. It is a best of 3, so that game 1 is so pivotal. They are all pivotal at this point. But hopefully the Colonels can put together a run like they did last year when they made it all the way to the Midwest League Championship Series before falling in 5 to the West Michigan Whitecaps here at home last year. So best of luck to Jake Maurer and the Colonels tonight as they take the field up in Appleton.
Yeah, indeed. Home field advantage, but it's kind of negated in that first game if Wisconsin wins. I'd like to see a best of 5 series, but I guess the season's long enough and going into September. But Colonels have had another very good year. Jake Maurer, excellent progress with this team. Over 50 moves, roster moves during the season, has still pieced together a season. What, there were 18 games over 500? It's pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good indeed. So best of luck to the Colonels coming up tonight.
We do have a traffic update on our text line, which is 319-366-1600. Thank you to 9442, just texting northbound 380 at the 42nd Street exit. There's a car taking up all the lanes. The road is closed.
It's not good.
It's not actually on the interstate, but on the exit ramp, as I read that.
Oh, the exit ramp.
Yes.
Okay. So it's pushing traffic back. Northbound I-380, 42nd Street on the north side of Cedar Rapids. Make alternate route plans if you're on your way in that direction. And we'll keep you updated. You can always reach us via the text line at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. That is the phone number as well if you'd like to reach us here at the KGYM studios. Again, 319-366-1600. Also want to let you know a couple things. First of all, we got another Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away today here on the program. Thanks to Steve, everybody at Dr. Pepper. Got to say hi to Steve last Friday night at Kingston Stadium. He was on the chain crew for the Wash Kennedy game. Did an admirable job out there. Might have been drinking Dr. Pepper as he was pulling the chains.
Or Snapple or something like that.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. They're all tremendous products. We love them all. You're going to get a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, a Dr. Pepper t-shirt, plus some KGYM swag. We will have that for you coming up in just a little bit. Also, want to remind everyone about our knockout pool. Details at KGYMradio.com. You can sign up at KGYMradio.com. It will start up, of course, if you'd like to pick Denver or Carolina. By all means, you're more than welcome to do so. If you don't want to pick one of those two teams, you have until Sunday morning to pick your team. But I like these knockout pools, and we've got one here at KGYM. We had our fantasy draft last night. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway for helping us out with that. They were great hosts last night. And if you want to be in the knockout pool, if you weren't fortunate enough to be in the Fantasy Football League, you can be in the knockout pool. And again, go to KGYMradio.com. And you can find out more details how you can sign up for that.
Indeed. Go to the website as well, and you can answer our poll question today, brought to you by the aforementioned Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Who prevails in their matchup this coming Saturday? Will it be Iowa's Desmond King or Iowa State's Alan Lazard? Much has been made of this matchup already. Desmond King usually plays the right corner, but rumor is he's going to follow Lazard all over the field.
I think that would be a very good move on Kirk Ferentz's behalf.
Very much looking forward to that matchup.
That's going to be a lot of fun, and that's going to be one of the maybe the biggest matchup to watch on Saturday night. We shall see. We'll talk more about that on the pregame show, I would imagine, coming up on Saturday. We'll be live at Coach's Corner beginning at 4:30, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square down in Iowa City. A rainy Wednesday, but that doesn't put the damper, and we'll have more on this coming up later on, Mark, as we have the debut edition. Ladies and gentlemen, after four long, suffering months, Bowling Night in America, it is back tonight at May City Bowl.
I'm looking at the signed bowling pin that we put together after we won the league, before you joined the team, that is.
Thank you for pointing that out.
God, it's been 4 years already.
It's been my fourth year.
Since we won that the Evergreen League.
Oh, I thought you meant since I joined.
Yeah, 3 years. This is your third year? Fourth year, I don't know.
Fourth year.
But, yeah, we're going to go at it tonight, the Evergreen League. I can't find anything at leaguesecretary.com in terms of the schedule. I have no idea who we bowl. It doesn't matter. We usually compete against ourselves. We're usually our worst enemy. But we'll have a season preview and a brand-new commercial coming up later.
Yeah, we'll debut that coming up here in just a little bit. Also, debuting after maybe a little bit more than a four-month layoff, announced early this morning, Tiger Woods. He says he's going to be back. We've heard this before. He is making his plans to be back for the first official tournament of the 2016-2017 PGA season. Remember, it's a wraparound season. They have some of the minor tournaments starting in October, going through November, and then they take about a month off for the silly season and then get back at it at Kapalua with the Tournament of Champions in January, which is for, as you well imagine, the champions from this past year. They are eligible for that. But Tiger says he is aiming to be back in Napa, California, coming up early October to play in the Safeway Classic.
Yeah, that tournament October 13th through 16th in Napa, California, and it's not 100% in concrete right now, but all indications are that Tiger's going to return then, play in the Turkish Open, whenever that is, and then go from there, see how he feels. So, a lot of people think golf needs Tiger to come back. I for one, don't. I think it's
good strong enough.
Good if he does. I think it brings in more non-golf fans if Tiger's in contention on Sunday afternoon.
This is an early 40s Tiger, though, now.
Right.
Johnny Miller came out today and said he's going to win 6 to 8 more tournaments.
I'll take the under all day long.
Yes, I will. And nothing against Tiger, and I've never been Tiger's biggest fan. I think people know that. But I just, the way he was playing, knowing what he has been through physically, knowing what he has been through off the golf course, watching him the last time he was on the golf course, seeing him, much publicized videos of him hitting golf balls at various events, I just don't know how he's going to beat the Jason Days and the Rory McIlroys and the Jordan Spieths and the next generation of the Justin Thomases and people like that coming up.
Even the Jim Furyks and Zach Johnsons, who are still going strong on the PGA Tour, I think the tour itself is deeper than when Tiger left it, and nobody fears Tiger anymore.
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. But maybe we're wrong. What do you think out there? 319-366-1600. Does Tiger come back with a vengeance? Does he win everything he looks at? Is he an also-ran? I don't know.
Third leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs begin tomorrow. The BMW Championships at Crooked Stick in Carmel, Indiana.
Good track.
Yeah. first group off will be include Zach Johnson at 9:03 Central Time. He'll go off with Brian Harman and Kyle Reifers. The first two rounds of the pairings are based on where the players stand in the FedEx Cup standings. Zach at 56, Harmon 57, Reifers 58. No cut in this tournament. The low 30 after it will play in the Tour Championship at Eastlake. And I hasten to say Zach's going to have to make a move.
Yeah, Zach's going to have to step on the accelerator this week and have a probably top 10, wouldn't you think? It's probably going to have to be a top 10.
5 or 10. Mm-hmm.
And that will get him into the Tour Championship. He is going to be in the Ryder Cup. We do know that. That'll be coming up at Hazeltine, just outside Minneapolis, and Chaska coming up at the end of September. So we'll have more on that coming up as we get a little bit closer and closer to it.
8717 on the text line regarding our poll question. Nothing ever comes of these matchups. Last year it was the Ott matchup that would determine the outcome, and he gets hurt, and the Hawks still kicked Iowa State's behind.
I don't know about kicking behind.
If Lazard goes off for 2 or 3 touchdowns, Iowa could be in trouble.
True. You're right, and I think the texter is right because, yeah, it doesn't often come down to the matchups individually. It's going to be the offensive line versus the defensive line because, obviously, for Lazard to get open, Lanning's going to have time. And if Iowa State's offensive line does not perform better than it did against UNI, Desmond King's going to, quote-unquote, win that battle.
Spot on there.
And yeah. Julian Good-Jones did not play last week, the former Cedar Rapids Washington product. He is going to be back this week.
He's still a newbie, though.
He's still a newbie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's not a lot. I think there were 3 total starts among the 5 that lined up on the offensive line for their career for Iowa State in that game last week.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the big challenge that I'm going to be looking for. Iowa State's offensive line against Iowa's defensive line, which at times showed well. Other times, let Miami get some yardage against
them. Yeah, over 200 yards rushing and over 400 yards total offense. Of course, Miami of Ohio ran a bunch more plays than the Iowa offense did, so... we'll see what Rob Gray's perspective is, CycloneFanatic.com. He covers Iowa State, a very learned writer and observer of Iowa State football.
Yeah, so we will talk with him, and we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. 17 minutes past the hour at 3. In fact, we can go ahead and take a break, but before we do, I've just seen this in a couple of the Minneapolis Star Tribune is now reporting this. A couple other media outlets are reporting this, but it sounds as though... Big college wrestling news. The University of Minnesota has fired head coach Jay Robinson effective immediately.
Mm.
There's been some turmoil in that program in Minneapolis. And we've talked with Mark Ironside about that, others about that. A lot of off-the-mat issues. And perhaps it has caught up to Jay Robinson now. And Minnesota's just not what Minnesota was 5 years ago.
Well, there was rumors of drug problems within the Minnesota wrestling program. And Jay Robinson came under scrutiny there for saying he had fully taken care of it, quote-unquote, and in fact did not. So stunning news, really. Robinson, who'd been affiliated with Iowa for many years, been in Minnesota for a long, long time, runs a terrific intensive wrestling camp, apparently out.
Out in Minneapolis. More on that, I'm sure, coming up. Coming up here, we're going to talk to Rob Grave, Cyclone Fanatic, and talk Iowa and Iowa States, and we'll do that when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class Wednesday edition coming your way here on KGYM.
On every job site, the formula is the same. Less downtime equals more profit. Reduce that downtime with top-notch machinery from Star Equipment, like the Road Widener Skid Steer Attachment. This little baby is the most flexible, portable road widener on the market, and it has the best cost per ton ratio for dispersing aggregate to the tune of 20-ton loads in just minutes. You tighten your time frame while widening that road. Rent or buy from Star Equipment and improve your job site profits. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
A pair of Metro teams looking for their first win meet in a Class 4A non-district game this Friday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join John Hagerty and me Friday from Kingston Stadium at 7 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM as the Linmar Lions take on the Jefferson Jayhawks. Both the Lions and Jayhawks have had tough schedules to begin the year, and each will be hungry for their first wins this Friday. That's high school football presented by First Federal Credit Union. Linmar at Jefferson, Friday night at 7 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, KGYM.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes. KGYM.
We are back at 3:19, Wednesday edition of the gym class coming your way here in KGYM. John Cramp joins us coming up tomorrow, and we will have the pick six coming up tomorrow as well. So lots of things to look forward to, and lots of things to look forward to today as well. We're going to talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com. We will do that here in just a little bit, probably about 15 minutes or so away when we talk with Chris. And I think Tristan Crockcroft will be with the guys on the APC coming up a little bit later on as well. But, of course, coming up on Saturday, it's Iowa and Iowa State from Kinnick Stadium in Ames. We'll have it on 1600 AM. John Walters and Eric Heft with the call, and that will be at 4:30. Among those in attendance in the press box at Kinnick Stadium is our next guest, Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic, joining us here on a Wednesday. And happy Wednesday to you, Rob. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, right back at you guys. I'm doing well, and I hope you are as well.
Well, a little rainy, but we're going to get through it today, right?
Yeah, it's that way up here, too. But we'll definitely get through it.
What's your take on the season opener, Rob?
Well, a big thud, certainly. I think they, you know, really were determined to get out on the right foot and just couldn't stop shooting themselves in that foot, unfortunately. From a Cyclones perspective, a lot of, you know, as they touched on, a lot of, getting behind the chains, you know, first and 20s, second and 20s, just really did a lot to derail themselves, which is to take nothing away from Northern Iowa. Aaron Bailey was clearly improved. His running game was great. He also threw it with better accuracy. You know, ultimately the Panthers made plays when they had to, even though they faltered a little bit late. On a couple of occasions, Iowa State just couldn't convert, and it's a hump they've got to get over to get back to that winning mentality, whereas if one thing goes wrong, it doesn't feel like it's going to be three or four following it.
What did Iowa State do well, in your mind's eye anyway, and what does Iowa State really need to improve on besides the penalties and holding on to the football?
Yeah, I mean, those are two big ones, and kind of decisive in that sense. But, yeah, they at times looked really good against the run. I think they'll be helped by Willie Harvey being back out there at a linebacker spot. He's fast and has a bit more power than some guys. There were some green guys put in positions to try to contain Bailey, and sometimes they were in the right spots, but they just couldn't hit their angles right, and you'd scoot around them. You know, the Panthers' running game really picked up as the game wore on, where I think they contained it, you know, well enough in the first half. DeMond Tucker got banged up. That contributed to that as well, but I think there's a potential to have a pretty decent run defense there, and I know that their back end, the secondary, is very good. I'll just call it that, pass interference on Brian Peavy, very, very good cornerback, really hurt late in the first half, obviously setting the Panthers up there. So I'm really pleased with that group. In terms of, Joel Enning made a lot of beautiful passes, but as we know, he got intercepted a couple times late, so he said a lot of really good things, and, as coaches said, you know, he put it all on himself, but, getting into those behind-the-chain situations can cause a guy to press a little bit, and you try to make a play, and down the stretch, that can be difficult. So I really like some aspects of the defense, and a little bit in the return game. Trevor Ryan had a nice return, but, a lot to work on, starting with those fundamentals.
We knew the offensive line was going to be inexperienced, and Julian Good-Jones being out the first game, you know, he didn't have any experience either, but he was going to be the starter, I believe. But he returns. Mike Bourne only 30 yards rushing. Is there a reason for optimism regarding this offensive line?
Well, I think there's – I was asking Tom Manning that when coordinators were available last night. And sometimes when you have a really young group, you can see very rapid, accelerated, you know, exponential growth because of your baseline, where you're starting from. That's obviously the hope with this group. They've got some guys with talent on it. Losing Jake Campbell before the season was a huge, huge, huge setback.
Mm-hmm.
I think we really saw how huge in that game. But Julian Good-Jones, yes, very familiar, obviously, in your primary listening area out there. Very, very much impressed them in the spring and the fall, and should be an upgrade over there. Maybe get some guys moved back to other spots. And I think there is some cause for optimism because they traditionally don't run the ball well against UNI, even in games that they win. And I don't know what, again, not always the case, but last season started out very slow with the running game. Warren didn't get a lot of touches in the first half. It was hard then to, you know, that's the way the first half ended so disastrously. You're coming from behind. UNI's bound and determined to stop him. I think that's a bit of an aberration. I think he's going to get his. But, yes, the line definitely has to improve considerably. And you would think that it would as people garner more experience coming from, many of them from a level of very limited experience.
Rob, how do you think the Cyclone fan base took that opening game loss?
Well, I think a lot of fans came into this season very excited because of all the things that Matt Campbell and the staff had done right, really engaging with people on social media. They're talking about alternate uniforms, kind of cool things that resonate with the younger demographic and across the board as well. I think, in a sense, that was a very jarring loss because of the way it happened. It seemed like an extension of the way they lost games last season. They could be up in the fourth quarter, I believe. Our Brent Bloom said they were up seven games in the fourth quarter, but they were either tied or had the lead. Obviously, they won three games last season. The way it went down, interception, fumble, interception, after they take the lead, despite all those problems, despite the nine penalties, hamstringing themselves so many times, I think it was jarring. But at the same time, I think they were buckled in. They're ready. They know the situation with the offensive line. They know they're replacing some pieces. They know they still have an experience with a lot of spots and a lack of depth at a lot of spots. And it's more long-term view than short-term. But, yeah, definitely I think a lot in the fan base were fairly stunned just because it felt like such a, I don't know, resurgence kind of a feeling in terms of an arc upward.
Rob Gray joining us from Cyclone Fanatic at 3:26, Wednesday edition of the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes here at KGYM. Kind of piggybacking off that a little bit, what does Iowa State, you mentioned Mike Warren, he was held in check. Alan Lazar didn't have a super game with, jarring numbers, if you will. Those are the two guys I got to think that Iowa State needs to get the ball to a whole bunch. And Joel Lanning has got to clean up a few things anyway. If they can do that, do they have a shot Saturday night?
Well, I don't think you can ever count out any team in this series just because you look at recent history. From the road team has won the last four to the, last time the game played out at night, 2002, that unbelievable comeback by the Cyclones where they were just utterly beat at halftime and came out, I was talking to Jordan Karstens for a story this week, all Big 12, very successful NFL lineman, D lineman for the Iowa State, and he said Coach McCartney turned over a few tables at halftime there and somehow it brought them out of the doldrums there. So it just seems like so many unexpected things happen and stars are born, like the triple overtime game in 2011. With Steel Dance and all that stuff. And even last season, Iowa State's leading 17-10 before the Hawkeyes really take control and score 21 unanswered, and C.J. Beathard really starts to emerge as a star player for the Hawkeyes. It's hard for me to pick this game to be anything but reasonably close because it has tended to be that way, since 2009, 2010, and a lot of times even preceding that. So I think it can be within two touchdowns. And again, anything can happen. Turnovers, so many weird things happen in this series. I find it a hard time to think that they won't at least be in the game from an Iowa State perspective, pretty deep into it.
More and more being made this week, Rob, of a potential matchup between Desmond King and Alan Lazard. That's interesting in and of itself, but it also impacts what Iowa State's going to throw against Greg Maben and the rest of the secondary. Kind of analyze that aspect of the game.
Well, first of all, I think it's just a great matchup. And Ian King made it sound like, from the quotes I was reading, that he will be focusing prime. Now, again, that could be gamesmanship too, and then he ends up shifting around as usual and just manning his side. But it would seem to make sense from Iowa's perspective. I mean, Dondre Daley had a touchdown against UNI, but that's I didn't do a whole lot else. Akeem Butler, a new guy, redshirt freshman, can really go up and get the ball. You know, former basketball player, just made an amazing catch in the end zone, just on kind of like a fade route, throw it up there. But those guys, and even Trevor Ryan can make some big plays, but those guys are not the level of weapon that Allen Lazard is. And we, of course, know Desmond King is one of the elite corners in the NCAA, let alone, you know, perhaps the elite corner. So, A, fantastic matchup either way. But, B, yeah, those guys are going to have to really shine against Maben and any safety help, which is probably coming the other way if Lazard gets anything going. So, a very intriguing matchup that I think fans should enjoy, you know, on both sides, because those are two, you know, just extremely talented players.
Rob, what does Iowa State, what do they have to do on Saturday to beat Iowa, to stay in the game? Just throw caution into the wind, fake punts, onside kicks. Is it that desperate a situation, or what do you see that they have to put together in Iowa City?
I think they have to be squarely on the plus side in the turnover battle. It's been such a long time since this team has turned, you know, maybe a game here and there over the last couple of years, but it's turned over a team more than once or twice in a game, and sometimes not at all. I mean, last season they just had a handful of interceptions. They have to find a way to probably score off a turnover fairly early in the game, not necessarily a pick six, but turn a turnover into a scoring drive. And they have to clean up those fundamentals, which fortunately, I mean, the flip side of how concerning that is those are the things that typically are easiest to clean up. You can't win, I don't think, unless you get Mike Warren going. Again, a tall task against that Iowa front. But, you know, not that it can't be done, but certainly I think the main thing is they have to get back to the plus side of the turnover margin, probably plus two, plus three, maybe the reverse of how it was against you and I, where they were minus three and gave it up four times.
87-17 on our text line said Iowa State needs to limit third and longs and don't let Iowa tee off on third and long.
Well, for sure. I mean, in the past, sometimes those third and longs have been crippling for those defenses in the last few years for Iowa State. They were better against UNI in that capacity, and that was one of the positives that coaches had gleaned from it, that they got up the field on third down quite a bit. But that's a great point, because the Cyclones have to be third and manageable a lot, and not third and long, let alone the first and 20s, second and 20s that they faced several times against UNI.
Looking at the Big 12 after 1 week, and again, we should pump the brakes because it is 1 week. Oklahoma went down to Houston and didn't look good in the second half, although Houston is very, very good. Texas, I think they're a player now. They're back with the Swoops and with Bouchelle and what they have done. I guess your impressions on the Big 12 after the first week?
Well, usually you have to wait a little deep. You have to wait a while for the season to see the topsy-turvy status of the Big 12 with all the high-flying offenses and defenses always kind of questioned or maligned. I think you saw a little bit of all of that in the first week, and couple that with TCU, you know, really being in a tussle against South Dakota State. Again, a rising FCS power, but a team that, man, in your home opener, you want to put a big hurt on. And they did pull away, I think, 59-41. But, you know, you mentioned the Oklahoma game. I was frankly stunned the way they stumbled so many times. I mean, they had a lot of self-inflicted wounds in that game, but they also allowed Houston to strike at the precise moments that the Cougars needed to strike. So that was a bit of a head-scratcher, as, of course, Oklahoma is the, you know, broad consensus favorite to win the league. So a lot of implications, but again, as you said, week one, and a lot of things can change over the next several weeks.
For Saturday Mini Moons, they've been able to celebrate in Lawrence, but there's not too many Rhode Islands out there.
No. It was kind of a – they can't even have a game in which they dominate, yes, an extremely talent-challenged opponent, but nonetheless, you do that on the scoreboard, and then there's the – mock field storming, the PA guy. I mean,
they couldn't even take down the goalposts.
But they got a chance to go 2-0. I think they're only, you know, they got Ohio coming in. I think the over-under on them was 1.5 wins. So, yeah, a long ways to go for the Jayhawks, but that was a kind of a sad, comical ending to what was a pretty good day for them against a, granted, just a poor opponent.
Yeah, well, a win is a win, and they're not giving it back.
For sure.
In Lawrence, outside of Allen Fieldhouse. Rob, keep up the great work at Cycle and Fanatic. Thanks for stopping by, joining us, and have fun in Iowa City on Saturday.
Scott, Mark, always a pleasure. Take care.
That's right. Rob Gray joining us. Read his stuff at CycloneFanatic.com. Senior writer for that fine website out there that covers Iowa State athletics. Anything you want to know about Cyclones, that's a great place to start. They do a terrific job. 3:35 here on the program. Don't forget, we got a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away. We will do that here in just a little bit. Speaking of giveaways, the APC is going to have tickets to see Hairball. Hairball is all over the place. Rock and roll that will never die with Hairball.
They should be, yeah.
Absolutely. They are a lot of fun. And they're going to have your chance to win tickets to see Hairball between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock this week. They're going to be at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena on Saturday, November the 19th. And you can see them courtesy of all of us here at KGYM. And for more information, you can go to KGYMradio.com. Or for tickets and more information on the event, go to Ticketmaster.com.
Speaking of giveaways, how many will we give away tonight at May City Bowl? That coming up.
None. None, of course. Let's do this. Let's go ahead. We're going to get Chris List of RotoWire.com. He is going to join us coming up here next. Your questions for week one of the fantasy football season. For Chris, 319-366-1600. You can text us on the KGYM text line. You can give us a call at 319-366-1600. We will talk with Chris when we come back.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe it's your only option. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Named the best in the industry, and it's just $14.99 per month. Protect your home the smart way. Go to SimpliSafe.com/Jones now to get free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. SimpliSafe.com/Jones.
A can-do attitude can do a lot. And with an extra $20 in your pocket, it can do even more. Thanks to AutoZone Rewards, when you spend $20 five times, you'll earn a $20 reward. It's the easiest way to get rewarded for tackling the jobs on your to-do list. So you can turn those brake jobs, oil jobs, and adding 500 watts of bass to your stereo system jobs into done jobs. Sign up today so you can fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Did you know the flu shot takes up to 2 weeks to take effect? That's why I'm getting my flu shot now, so I can outsmart the flu before there's an outbreak. At Walgreens, your flu shot even helps give a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Get a shot, give a shot. Doubly smart. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2017, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Learn more at walgreens.com/get a shot. Vaccine restrictions apply.
This game brought to you by Shell V-Power Natural Plus Premium Gasoline and the Fuel Rewards Program, where for a limited time you can join and earn 10 cents per gallon rewards after every fill-up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus. Top of the inning.
Wait, hold up, Bill. Did you just say 10 cents per gallon on Shell V-Power Nitro Plus?
I did. Back to the game now.
Hey, look, I just joined Fuel Rewards.
Jim, we're announcing a game.
But it's free.
Join the excitement at FuelRewards.com/ESPN. Offer ends 10-2-16. Minimum 8-gallon purchase of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Fuel savings limited to 20 gallons. Additional terms and conditions apply.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
And amen. We'll be there tonight on one of those, and it's raining outside, so you can guess which one it's going to be, Mark. 319-366-1600, your questions, your texts for Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. As he is set to join us right now. And go to rotowire.com. You can get all kinds of great help. Draft's pretty much over now. I mean, we're one day, 48 hours away.
I've got a text who is drafting tonight.
One more night to have drafts. And Chris joins us from Germany here on the Wednesday edition of the program. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing fantastic. We had two drafts last night. We had our draft with our listeners here, and that went very well. Alex was in charge of that. I had the draft of our team, you know, that we've had for many, many years, and I will let you grade that team coming up later on, but I have a feeling you're not going to like the team.
I hope you did a good job, Scott.
I changed my mind.
I don't want this segment to get ugly.
I know, and I've changed my mind. I used to like to draft in the middle, and now after last night, I absolutely hate it.
I hate it. Where I said I was trying to tell you.
Hey, Chris, we were talking in the sports office before the show about Brian Dozier. Do you have any equity in him?
Sadly, I do not, and I just wish he would stop.
Wow.
No, just please, just stop hitting home runs every single day, many of the time. It's killing me. I mean, you know, if you're in eight or nine leagues like I am and you don't own a player who's doing that, that means in every league there is somebody who is profiting at your expense.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's have Chris analyze our two teams.
Which one?
The only one I'm in is the inner office.
I don't even have my inner office team. Give him your inner office team. I'll give him my team from last
Drafting number two, Chris, I took your boy Beckham.
Okay.
Second round, I went Freeman. I like him a whole lot at the running back position.
Okay.
Third pick, Amani Cooper.
Good.
And I went DeMarco Murray, my fourth pick.
Eh.
And
a little bit of a reach.
Probably to say the same thing about fifth pick, Doug Baldwin.
Better. Receivers are better. Is it 2-2-1, your setup?
Yes.
Okay, so, all right. Yeah, keep going.
6-7, I wasn't going to do this, but I decided to. 6, I took Josh Gordon. 7th round, Tom Brady.
I like the Gordon one, but, you know, with Brady and Gordon, you're kind of... You're going to be waiting on two spots. You better not get any injuries.
Well, I backed it up with Eli in the 8th round, and I also have David Carr with the last pick of the draft.
I'm not a Carr guy, especially in the shallow league. And I know you mean Derek, but I do the same thing all the time.
Other running back, Duke Johnson is my 3rd running back. Aiken and Mike Wallace, also my receivers. Hauschka in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, you got some guts to drop, which is good. But... I think you just better hope that you don't get some injuries. How deep is the bench? How many guys on the bench?
6.
Okay, you might have enough room. When you have two guys suspended 4 games, right, then, you know, when you get that bye weeks in week 4 and then you have two other injuries, you're going to be in a squeeze a little bit. I like the Gordon pick, though. It's aggressive, but I think it's good.
Okay.
There you go. And I'll get mine real quick because I know we got people lined up on the text line.
Yes, we do.
All right, real quick, Chris, last night. I'm not going to give you the order I picked them in or anything like that. All I'm going to say is I now hate the middle because you get on the back end of runs and you got it. Your hand is forced. I hate that. All right, quarterbacks. let's start with wide receivers. Hopkins, got him. Mike Evans, Jordan Matthews, and who's the other one? Tavon Austin of the Rams. How's that? And I got Doxson.
Pretty good. Matthews could pan out. I don't really know what's going to happen there with the passing game, but first two were good.
Yeah. And Josh Doxson, I forgot about him. I took him with the last pick.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of a reach. Running backs, Doug Martin, Carlos Hyde, Gio Bernard, and then Allen of Baltimore.
It's not that bad. Okay, keep going.
Quarterbacks, Jameis, and then the backup is Alex Smith.
That's fine.
Oh,
and tight end?
I'm doing better. Kelsey, and then Sophronius Jenkins of Tampa Bay or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I give you like a BB plus for that. It's not that bad.
All right. I feel better.
I mean, it's not – you don't really have any good players, you know, but you have – No, I mean, if it's full PPR and 3 receivers, I think you've got 2 high-end receivers and you got enough running backs. And I love Winston, and, you know, your tight end is good. I think that's okay. I think that team, it's not pretty. It's not a work of art, Scott, but it'll probably make the playoffs, is my guess.
Nice. All right, very good. We'll see. We're hoping for a good Tampa Bay season. That's all I know.
319-366-1600, our text and phone line. Let's get to some of them. 2235 has his or her NFL draft tonight, Chris. I have the first pick, and then after that I have 24 and 25. Should I go for a QB then?
In most formats, no. The answer is no. You're in a 12-team league. You only need one QB. There will be plenty of QB depth deep into your draft. Do not take one in the first five rounds.
Two-tier question from 4570. Who's best for my flex spot? Michael from Seattle, Benjamin Carolina, Fuller from Houston.
I would go Michael. I think he's going to get the bulk of the work, and they are 10.5-point favorites at home. I would use him.
Second part of that question, Gates or Julius Thomas at tight end?
I think I would use Gates, but it's kind of a toss-up. He's healthy, and KC in the past hasn't defended tight ends that well.
No, they haven't. 5910 is asking, what's your philosophy, Chris, on drafting a wide receiver and running back from the same team?
You know, I don't love it, but I will do it if it's the right team. You do sacrifice a little upside, but if it's a good high-scoring team, you actually stabilize your scoring every week, right? So if you have a really good offense like the Packers and you had Lacy and Jordy Nelson a couple years ago, you know, in a blowout, you know, Lacy's going to get a lot of the points. But, you know, if it's a shootout, then it's going to be Nelson, although they both can profit. I think as long as the team is good, it's not really a big deal. I wouldn't avoid it on purpose. You just get into a little bit of a thing if it's a mediocre to weak offense and you're kind of hoping, you know, only one of them is going to go off either week. It's a little tougher.
Chris's appearance, by the way, brought to you by Imon Communications. They're helping us out here on KGYM with all our fantasy football talk this year. 6161 drafted McCoy. Just wondering the best handcuff for him, Bush Williams. He says it's a mess in Buffalo.
Yeah, it is a mess. And, you know, they cut Carlos Williams, who was the handcuff. I wouldn't bother. Don't handcuff. I mean, I can understand it if you have Le'Veon Bell to take D'Angelo Williams, and I can understand it if you had C.J. Anderson to take Devontae Booker. But I would not handcuff with bad handcuffs. Just get somebody else's handcuff. You go out and get Booker. You go out and get Alfred Morris. And then if somebody gets hurt on another team, you'll have two starters. So don't handcuff McCoy.
49-23 on the text line. Do I start Mariota versus Minnesota or Osweiler versus the Bears?
I would probably go Osweiler. I think that Minnesota Tennessee game is going to be ugly and low scoring, and you know, Mariota can always help you with his legs, but I think Osweiler, again, that might be, you know, a lot of Lamar Miller, but I think Osweiler has a chance to put up some decent numbers.
Tony in Anamosa needs two of these, the following four running backs, Chris: Stewart, Ingram, Bernard, or Yeldon.
Definitely Ingram. He's, you know, the best by far of that bunch. And then I'm probably going to say Bernard. The Jets have a very tough run defense, but that might hurt Jeremy Hill more than the pass-catching Bernard. So I'll use Bernard as my second.
Chris joining us, courtesy of Imon Communications at 347. Give him a call, 319-366-1600. You have a fantasy football lineup question. You can also reach us via the text line at 319-366-1600. Those are the numbers.
Colin at 2380, Golden Tate, Emmanuel Sanders, Theo Riddick, or Corey Coleman at the flex position in a PPR?
I would probably go with Golden Tate in what could be a shootout against the Colts.
Okay.
8771, I think I know the answer to this question. Newton, Rivers, or Cousins?
I'm probably going Cousins against the Steelers.
I was wrong.
Is that the answer you thought I was going to say?
I thought you were going to go Cam.
I mean, in Denver is about as terrible as it gets. Cam is you could do it because Cam is such a monster. I mean, no quarterback puts up the numbers like him. But, man, in Denver, I'm going to take Cousins in a very high over-under game.
0503, is it a point per completion league, Winston or Luck?
Luck's shoulder was sore, so just double-check that. But if it's healthy, I would go Luck. If not, obviously, Winston.
Getting some phone calls right now. Chris, should we always trust how we drafted in the first week?
You mean just go with the guys that you drafted higher?
Right, your best guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I would not. Matchups matter. I mean, at Denver's the worst possible matchup. So, you know, if you have Kelvin Benjamin, I'm not using him, you know, unless I had just no other options. And even Cam, I would sit for a lot of quarterbacks with better matchups. You know, matchups are usually just a tiebreaker, but when they're extreme, when you're at Denver, one of the best defenses historically last year, I think you do have to adjust.
Okay.
All right, let's bring in Pat from West Branch on the phone for Chris. Good afternoon, Pat.
Yeah, I got a running back question. I need two out of these three. I got Forte, Gore, and Stewart.
I would go, I would say none, but you have to start. I would probably sit Stewart and go with Forte and Gore.
And then real quick, I asked last week, but I got Newton and I got Derek Carr. Which one of those two quarterbacks?
As much as I do not like Carr and like Newton, I would go Carr this week.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Good luck. 319-366-1600. Those are the phone numbers and the text number.
0720, Chris, needs a flex in a no PPR league. Calvin Benjamin, Adrian Foster, or Yeldon?
Bad options. I guess I would go Foster in a non-PPR.
5581, Carson Palmer or Tyrod Taylor?
I would go with Carson Palmer.
All right. We're going to go to Chris in Monticello, who's up next here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Chris to Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I got a question. I have to pick two of these running backs out of these four on a PPR league. I have Duke Johnson, DeMarco Murray, Spencer Ware, and Jeremy Langford. I'll listen up here.
Thanks.
Definitely Spencer Ware. And then the other ones are pretty close, and it's kind of a gamble because you don't know what kind of workload they're going to have. I'm going to say Langford is going to get the work, so I'm going to use him. But Duke Johnson, you know, who knows? But I'm going to say Langford.
Yeah, and where is – I think Charles is going to be out this week from all indications in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think Ware is just almost a no-brainer, home yep. against San Diego's terrible run D, and the Chiefs don't have Charles, it looks like. And the Chiefs are probably going to want to shorten this game a little bit and just pound it at home. So I think Ware is a top seven, top eight back this week.
And I think West is going to get some looks too. So, but I think it's going to be Ware maybe playing a little bit more than Charcandrick West, the way it sounds.
More texts coming in for Chris Liss of rotowire.com, 5505. Needs a quarterback. Prescott, Carr, or Luck?
I would go with Luck if, again, the shoulder's not a problem. Otherwise, I would go with Carr.
72-34, should I pick up Yeldon or Alfred Morris?
I mean, for this week, you got to go Yeldon.
I think Chris's mm-hmm. daughter just fired up the door of the Explorer again. How many more you got over there, Mark?
Just one. Maybe you can answer it, Scott.
I will. Well, we can try.
Non-PPR, I took David Johnson first overall. How did I do?
He went third in our draft last night.
Is that a non-PPR?
It's kind of a combination.
Okay.
We have kind of a combination, if we will. Chris said before that was maybe the top guy to take. Top running back for sure, Chris said. So, there you go. Anyway, Chris's appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. They are the sponsor of our fantasy football league, the APC Fantasy Football League on KGYM, as well as Chris Liss and Tristan Cockcroft, all three of those.
We'd get Chris back on, but we're up against it on time, and we need to give Bowling Night in America preview and a Dr. Pepper. Sorry about the texters that tried to get in. We couldn't get to you.
All right. Try it again next week. Try it again next week. Or just go to rotowire.com. Great stuff right there. In fact, most of our league last night was on rotowire.com helping out. All right, 3:53, we'll take a break. Bowling Night in America preview number one of 675 coming up.
I unlocked $10 in thank yous with my DePaco checking, and now I'm unlocking a scary movie night.
I unlocked $25 in thank yous with my DePaco savings, and now I'm unlocking a month at the gym.
As a financial cooperative, member participation is the key ingredient that powers DePaco Community Credit Union. To say thanks for your credit union use, our Thank Yous campaign pays cash for your participation.
I unlock $60 in thank yous with my years of DePaco membership, and now I'm unlocking tango lessons with my wife.
Now through September 30th, the more you use your cooperative, the more you're thanked. Not a member? Join today to start earning thank yous.
I unlocked $5 in thank yous with DePaco e-statements, and now I'm unlocking a chance to pay it forward.
I unlocked $25 in thank yous with my DePaco savings, and now I'm unlocking my daughter's future.
Participate to accumulate. Unlock your thank yous with DePaco. Equal housing opportunity. Federally insured by NCUA.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes, meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees. No more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Mature League, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
What is mature leagues?
We didn't write it, we just read it.
That's making us sound older than we are, and I don't want that.
Well, judging by some of the guys in the league, I'm not sure it is a mature league, but...
Let's do this. As we talk about Bowling Night in America, let's give away our Dr. Pepper prize pack for today. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. You are going to pick up a Dr. Pepper prize pack, which has a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper 12-pack, KGYM swag, Dr. Pepper swag. But caller number 6, 319-366-1600. Go ahead. Give Alex a call. He'll get your information. You're going to get some delicious Dr. Pepper.
22:58. Kind of expected this one. Not sure if we bowl tonight, but rest assured, the jacket will be at the lanes just in case.
I don't know if we do either.
Justin Whittle from the Pen Pals, our friends.
Good to hear from the Whittles, but we're on tonight.
They're mature bowlers.
Yeah. We just read them. Go ahead. We don't know who we bowl tonight. We'll find out later.
Usually our biggest opponent is ourselves, right?
That's right. Yeah. We look forward, without having an OTA this offseason, we were planning on trying to get out there over lunch, but it was just too hectic this week. And we'll see what happens tonight. The team is back together. The Rusty Nails are back. We'll see if we are back, being back.
Looking forward to getting back out to May City. Great hosts out there and getting together with the rest of the teams as well. So... kicking it off tonight. We'll tell you how it goes tomorrow.
Yeah, Tom and everybody at May City, thank you very much for stepping up to the plate again, not only for the league, the Evergreen League, but all the leagues out there and all the bowlers around. Can't do it with all the great bowling centers out there. We do appreciate it, especially our host, Tom Turchka, at May City Bowl out on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
Indeed. You can access all the information that you might need in terms of bowling at May City. May City Bowl CR. .com or give them a call, 362-0136.
Any predictions for tonight? You feeling good? Feeling loose?
I hope to not get injured.
I hope to not throw a gutter ball tonight.
Oh, you can easily avoid that, can't you?
Each one of us throws one gutter ball a year on the first throw sometime during the season.
Yeah.
Let's hope to avoid that tonight. I think that's our goal. Tim from Monticello. He is our Dr. Pepper prize pack winner. It was a double Monticello day. Let's hear it from Jones County today, huh? Representing out there. Representing next here on KGYM will be the Afternoon Players Club. Todd Brommelkamp, Tyler Ryder. They'll take you through 7 o'clock and then Twins baseball tonight at 7. And we have John Cranton coming up tomorrow and the Pick 6. Talk to you then.
Napa Know How.
You don't need an air-conditioned steering wheel or high-performance supercharger to use Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil. Now just $5.79 a quart at Napa. Mobil 1 offers premium protection.